Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today. We're going to play on and stand strong with Drodo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Pump up the volume. It's time to play ball.
Good morning, happy Tuesday, and welcome to Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. If you're a betting man like I am, well, you probably saw last night starting out this way.
Andrew Bogut wins the opening tip back to Draymond. Curry's got the ball, and here we go. Andrew Bogut up top. We get an illegal screen on Andrew Bogut. Took 9 seconds before Jeremias Petrinas makes the call, and that gets Steve Kerr up off the bench with a rather perplexed look on his face.
Awesome. Absolutely awesome. You're not going to win them all. So if you're going to suffer a defeat here and there, you may as well try to have some fun with it as the Golden State Warriors fall 111 to 105 in San Antonio against the Spurs. It's great to have you with us today. Mark Medina is coming up in about 29 minutes at 6:30. Greg Papa will join the program at 8:30. Rick Barry, the Hall of Famer, at 9:35. And Dibs, I've been told we have soccer tickets to give away at 8:45 today.
Yes, big time. Mexico v. Paraguay coming to Levi's Stadium, a stadium near you, Joe. It's a big event, and we're going to have tickets to give away today, 8:45, and I believe all throughout the week as well.
So Andrew Bogut gets the start last night. Andrew Bogut gets the start. He finds out when he lands on Saturday night in America, he gets a text message from Steve Kerr. You got to call me. You know, it's not to catch up. It's basically Boogie's hurt. We need you in San Antonio as fast as possible. He lands in San Antonio Sunday night, joins the team. They have a conversation Monday morning. They have a few laughs, and he basically tells them, you and four All-Stars are going up against LaMarcus Aldridge tonight. Bogut starts laughing. He takes the court. What did you think of the big man's return?
Hey, you love it, man. Hey, you know what? He picked up where he left off. One thing you know about Andrew Bogut, Joe, and Dibs, he's going to be physical. And you saw that right away. Wanted to set a hard screen. Wanted to see him come out there and set it hard. And that's who Andrew Bogut is. Andrew Bogut is the epitome of hard work. He understands athletically he's not necessarily the most slight of slew of foot for a big man. But one thing he is, he's physical and he's tough. And that's why this guy has had such a long career in the NBA.
Yeah, and even as a journeyman, he was able to find work until basically injuries and ineffectiveness forced him out. But it's good to see him back there doing exactly what you'd expect him to do. I thought 9 seconds was a little bit early.
Not early.
But you see the play where he goes to the weak side and he sets the pick and he follows through, leans toward half court and puts his, whatever, 250-pound frame into Bryn Forbes. Yeah, and you send that message. Yeah, it's one foul. You get six. You know you're only going to play 20 or so minutes, so you might as well use them when you can. That was a perfect opportunity.
He looked good. He looked like what everyone who had watched him was saying he looked like. He looked lean. He was getting up and down the court. I was assuming that at this point, when you first heard his name surface, that this would have been some broken down, aging big, lumbering up and down the court, consistently finding himself out of position to the point where you go, well, you know, what are we talking about here? It's the 15th spot on the roster. Can't ask him to do much. And instead, last night, box score wasn't huge, but bang for your buck, the guy's pizza. Andrew Bogut is pizza. Doesn't cost a lot of money. Rarely disappoints. No one's asking him to go for 30 and 20 like Joel Embiid or Andre Drummond. The reality of the situation is you're going to ask him to play some hard minutes in some crucial situations, and he looks like he is more than capable of doing that.
Yeah, give me three slices and get me to the next meal. Maybe you throw a beer or a soda in there as well, and you call it dinner.
Maybe it's breakfast. Yeah. Maybe it's leftover from the night before.
It could be either way, and you know, probably not dinner and breakfast the night before in the case of Andrew Bogut, because you wonder how effective he can be tonight. Because remember, we talked about the Sydney Kings and their schedule. They play basically a college schedule where it's two games in 3 days and then no game for 5 or 6 days. So you wonder, tonight, second half of a back-to-back, if you can even play him at all. And if you do, it's probably in that 10 to 15-minute range again.
Here's head coach Steve Kerr on Andrew Bogut's return.
Andrew was great. It's great to have him back. You know, he's a tremendous defensive player. He's a great passer. He's a lob threat. He's going to help us.
Kerr obviously very stoked about the return of one Andrew Bogut. Here's Bogut after the game on the illegal screen.
That was a welcome to the league for sure. It's just like we know you set some hard screens, so we're just going to blow one early. So yeah, so it goes. I got three cheap ones early, and the second one I thought I didn't really get LaMarcus on the fadeaway as well. The third one was definitely a foul on DeRozan, but you know, refs make mistakes sometimes, as do we, and you're just going to move on from it.
How do you think he's feeling today physically? He takes a flight from Australia to the Bay Area Saturday, finds out he needs to be in San Antonio Sunday night, so he boards a plane and flies from the Bay Area to Texas, plays his first NBA game in a while against the Spurs, and then immediately jumps on a plane to fly 2.5 hours up to Minnesota.
Ice bath. This is a guy that, you know, you jump in, the ice bath. You don't be surprised if the guy gets an IV just because of the elevation and things that he's been traveling. Just to make sure that he's hydrated, make sure that he's getting electrolytes, probably pounding him. Trainers probably saying, hey, you need to take this electrolytes, take these pills, keep drinking fluids. Andrew, fluids. Even when you don't want to drink, continue to drink, and drinking the right fluids and making sure that he's not drinking any slits, malt liquor, or anything like that. Here's a guy that, you know, he's been traveling. He's been traveling a lot. Even though he's been playing, this is different. You're in the NBA. This is different. You're not, Dibs alluded to how they played back there compared to what's going on now. And here's a guy that's coming off of, you know, season and jumping in this. So yeah, he's definitely kind of sore, probably got a little heavy legs today. Situation where I think they're going to check on him and see, can they, he will be active probably. Is this a guy that you want to play a big minutes and stuff tonight? No. So I wouldn't be surprised that if Looney starts tonight and you give Andrew Bogut a little, play him only like 10 to 15 minutes. But I just don't know right now if it's a tight game. If Looney gets in foul trouble, here's a guy that might have to still play, Dibs.
And Bogut will find his way into foul trouble as well. And it's not so much that the refs miss calls, as he alluded to in his comment, yeah, but the game is officiated differently than it was last time that Bogut was on this Warrior team. And yes, the referees do miss calls occasionally. The first foul, the one we played at the top of the show, that absolutely was a foul. It might not have been a foul 4 years ago, but in this day and age, in this NBA, any real contact of any significance, they're going to call the foul.
7 points on 3 of 4 shooting, 7 rebounds, an assist, a steal, a couple of turnovers, actually just 1 turnover, and 3 personal fouls, -2 in 19 minutes. I'll take that. I mean, if that's a late signing here in the month of March, less than a month from the start of the playoffs, and you feel that you need help from a big, and you can get that in 19 minutes, I mean, we're taking that, aren't we?
Yes.
Are we taking that every day of the week? I don't see anything to complain about here. I can't find anything to critique. If your expectations are where they should be regarding Andrew Bogut, you got to feel pretty solid about the situation. Question comes back to what you were just saying, Lo. What do you do with him tonight? You got Karl Anthony Towns. You got the Minnesota Timberwolves. You're a 5.5-point favorite. It's the second half of a back-to-back. It's going to be your 3rd and 4 nights before returning home to play the Pacers on Thursday. I don't know if you want to go too far with this guy, but again, did anyone see what happened last night? Denver goes to Boston, beats the Celtics. Warriors and Nuggets now tied atop the Western Conference. You can't just go in and lay down. Had you beaten the Spurs last night, you may have been in a situation where you could have taken it easier against Minnesota. Tonight, you got to go at him if you want that one seed.
Yeah, you do. When you look at Looney, Looney's more athletic, I think, than Bogut in this particular matchup against Karl Anthony Towns. And so you play Looney. And you talked about, would you be happy with the numbers that Bogut gave you? If you said Looney had those type of numbers, you'd be like, wow, especially 7 points. I think that you look at that in assists. I don't know if Looney's going to get you that every single night. I think Looney may have had maybe a little advantage, maybe rebounding that times, but I think Bogut's probably better at boxing out because he's just more seasoned vet. Looney, you know, better get up and down the court a little bit better. But if you think about if Looney had those type of nights, you're like, man, this is a solid night by Looney. So without a doubt, with Andrew Bogut coming back into the fold, not being an NBA this whole season and coming out and playing like that, Dibs, you got to say this was a good performance.
Absolutely.
Considering what he's been.
And I think the key tonight is DeMarcus Cousins. If he's able to come back from the sore foot, then you don't play Bogut at all, in my opinion. You give him the full night off. Because Andrew Bogut didn't play back-to-backs in Australia. And in fact, they would play on a Friday. they'd play on a Sunday, and then they wouldn't play again until the following Friday. So the schedule, so different to where he's not in condition to play these back-to-backs, let alone at 34 years of age. So for me, if DeMarcus Cousins is good to go, you go back to your usual rotation, and Bogut sits the whole game.
Today's Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet, up on the website now at 957thegame.com. Will the Warriors defeat the Timberwolves by 6 or more points on Tuesday? You can vote on that on the website, 957thegame.com. Bogut's return was a plus. Unfortunately, there were a lot of minuses in last night's performance against the Spurs. Someone in this room thinks the Spurs are a much bigger problem than anyone realizes at the moment. We're going to have that for you next here on 957 The Game.
Didn't catch Steve Kerr with Damon Bruce? Here's a little of what you missed.
Steve, most important question I've ever asked you. Who's in charge of shaving Iguodala's head?
I certainly hope that would be Andre.
Kick Damon Bruce on the go. Download the radio.com app and favorite 95.7 The Game today. Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Tonight's the night. Join Damon Bruce and myself from 5 to 7 p.m. at BMW San Francisco's 5th Annual Ultimate Bracket Challenge. Enjoy food and drinks, plus a chance to win $1 million for a perfect bracket. Get tips from the pros and fill out your bracket with 95.7 The Game and BMW San Francisco. Full details at 957thegame.com. I am out of breath, and I don't know why. I didn't do anything. I just walked across the room to get a different chair.
Yeah, you had to make two trips across the room, and it's a pretty big room, Joe.
And the chair is
I'm like huffing and puffing.
It's the reason why you don't lift a lot of heavy things. The chair was probably pretty heavy. Rolling across got you a little winded.
I know, you're like, you're taking a breath. You're like, whoa. I literally did nothing. I walked 15 feet. Is that a fair assessment?
That's fair.
Switched chairs and pushed it back. Didn't carry the chair. And now I find myself completely winded.
Well, I think you went straight from there to doing the read, and you didn't even take a breath while you were doing it. You said, BMW. And maybe that took the wind out.
Office Space Spartan Race
right.
is what
there
it
you
is.
Go.
You know, wheel the chair across the room.
One obstacle, grand total 30 feet.
No.
I can definitely raise money for that.
Let me tell you what it is. He's got the Bogut legs, Dibs. Ran the Spartan Race, you know, and now the next night, it's two nights later, your legs are
straight. Great segue right there. Bogut legs.
Bogut legs.
Very nice. I think it's a disservice to Bogut, who's a true professional athlete, lumping him in with some slap who just had a problem walking across a room to push a very light chair. Not carry, but push a very light chair across the floor. All right, so the Bogut return, that was a plus. The rest of last night's game, a relative minus outside of that 60-plus footer that Steph drained at the end of the first quarter. It had been a while since we got one of those, so it was kind of cool to see, but the Warriors fall 111-105 to the San Antonio Spurs. Couple that, your boy LT's up on TV, too. Look at this. Just all types of LT stuff right
Give
now.
Give me some 4-1 leading the way.
Okay. There's no 4-1 yet. Get him in there.
Maybe that's the play where he was on the ground already.
Wow. I mean, it's probably 11 six, personnel.
6-19 and both of you guys already. 19 minutes in the show, and you guys just went.
I pointed out that he was on TV, and then I also said, let's get some 4-1 after Dibs originally said
it. And then you topped him by saying what? Oh, it's probably just 11 personnel.
And he made a crack, and I also slid in the crack. Were you on the field for every play?
No.
And one of the reasons could be the personnel call, which is simply me giving context.
And you could have been on the ground after a triple block where you took out the entire right side of the line.
That's true, too.
I'm sorry, Joe.
It could have been like a bowling ball situation. You hit the end, and all the guys on the D-line topple over.
Like pins.
I don't see that on the sheet
at all.
It's not.
I wasn't expecting the NFL Network to go right to LT this morning, but yet, here we are.
It's called improv.
All right.
Good morning, Anna.
The real concern with last night is the fact that the Warriors lose that game. The Nuggets win in Boston. They're back in the playoffs for the first time since 2013. Very excited, right? Very excited. Yeah. The problem is that now both teams are tied atop the West. This could be a concern heading into Minnesota tonight. But what I want to focus on for a moment is the fact that the Spurs have now won 9 straight, during which time they've gone 8-1 against the spread. So not just winning, they're covering point spreads, and they're winning big. They've got 11 straight wins at home. This is now the 22nd consecutive season in which they've posted a winning record. And they're beating real-life basketball teams. This 9-game winning streak, They've beaten the Warriors, the Nuggets, the Bucks, the Thunder, the Blazers, and the Pistons, who caught fire up until just recently. You, sir, in your email last night said you're a bit more concerned about the Spurs than the rest of us, and for good reason.
I think we all should. If you watch the way DeMarcus Aldridge is playing and you see they bring in a guy, DeRozan, you say, okay, who is this guy? Can he play? Everyone laughed at him in Toronto, said, when the lights come on, when is he going to step up? The guy stepped up. Last night, Klay Thompson had some hell of a defensive trying to play D on him, was in front of him, kept his leg, feet down, didn't get him up at all, and he was still elevating, shooting over at times. The guy's coming into a zone and seems like he's really matured with Greg Popovich. If you think about what Popovich is and how he coaches guys, Daniel, and just the way that they're playing with calmness, you see DeRozan really has starting to play a lot more better and more consistent. I don't know if it's the system. I don't know if he just found a newfound of resurgence because he's there. You saw Aldridge go at it. You saw Gasol. I mean, they had some players that played pretty well and pretty solid. This team, yes, the Warriors struggled, and Klay and Steph didn't get off to a great start. The ball wasn't falling for them early. We understand that, but they still played a consistent game. They outscored them in the fourth when it really matters. You look at the Warriors, got them in the third quarter, but if you see the way that this game went back and forth, I thought that this team and the way that they've been playing, you have to. If you dismiss this team, we're being foolish. The way that they're playing with their consistency,
yeah. It's typical Popovich fashion. You look at guys like Jakob Poeltl and Bryn Forbes and Davis Bertans. Hey, these are just guys until they play in the Spurs system. And to your point about DeMar DeRozan, I think that he's found a new initiation for defense.
Yes.
The way he's playing, the way that Popovich demands you play team defense. Bryn Forbes, they picked him off a couple of times on defense last night, but he had a solid game in his 17 minutes running around, causing trouble. And it's the bench for me. You know, Patty Mills, a guy who was starting for a while, now he's coming off the bench. It's a Spurs team that isn't necessarily the deepest, but they've bought in the system. They're playing good defense, able to capitalize in the fourth quarter.
22 straight years with a winning record. That's almost a quarter century of winning seasons. I was thinking this morning about that. It's mind-blowing.
But at
the same time, do you want that as a fan? Naturally, oh, yeah, of course I do. Do you appreciate it? Like, I almost feel as if we appreciate Warrior championships just a little bit more because of the 73-win season. I feel that that loss gives us at least some context. Whereas if you won that and you were going for five straight, the arrogance level and the checkout factor in some of these games would be even higher than it is now. I know it sounds crazy. It's not meant to be takey, but it's like, can you really appreciate the greatness when it's 22 straight seasons of winning? Do people in San Antonio appreciate this?
I think they do just because of the nature of San Antonio. If it was New York, for example, I don't know if you'd appreciate it as much because there's so much going on. San Antonio,
they got nothing going on, Tibbs.
You've got the rodeo.
The teams this morning.
Right.
In New York, you have the Nets, who are going to the playoffs, and then you've got the Knicks,
trash,
and the Giants,
joke,
and the Jets, and the Rangers, and the Island. It's bad. It's a bad
situation. It's a mess in the Big Apple. The Apple's rotted, Coach. But you go to San Antonio, and you've got the Spurs, and then you've got you've got UT San Antonio spring football.
UTSA.
Right.
University of Texas San Antonio.
But other than that, it's a Spurs town.
I bet a few of those games.
So the fact that if you're in a sports town and you only have 82 NBA games a year, you cherish the 41 home games. But at least with the Spurs, you know, 22 straight years, you're at least going to get some playoff action as well and maybe a threat to win a championship.
I want you guys to really, and just think about the Spurs. Think about them in the post game and look around the association. Just in the West and say, let's just talk about guys that can match up with DeMarcus Aldridge, talking about a guy that can score. You look at Denver, yeah, they got a big man, but can he get out in deep water? Can he get consistency? And you think about their defense and their perimeter. Besides Golden State, do you think they, it's the Rockets, is James Harden, is that team consistent enough to beat them in a seven game? The way that San Antonio is playing defensively, they're holding people down. They're not letting teams get out and necessarily run like Dibbs alluded to. Their bench is consistent. They're buttoned up. Yesterday we talked about the Spurs and what made them. You talked about 22 years, Joe, being in the playoffs. But what has been consistent? The team doesn't make a lot of mistakes. They let you make a lot of mistakes. They try to stay the course. They don't try to be something else. And that's what scares me about this team. Not that it scares the Warriors, but I think that this team right now, you got to say, without a doubt, right now they're playing the best in the West, and they're getting and they're peaking at the right time.
Here's the one thing that's going to have me going to sleep at night. And I saw you put this in the email with the Spurs, and I thought to myself, he's on to something. They are playing very well. They're covering a lot of spreads. They're beating a lot of good teams. But the one thing you have to remember with the Spurs, they're 13-22 on the road this season. Of the 16 teams currently slated to go to the playoffs, nobody has a worse road record than the Spurs. So for as good as they've been at home, if you're going to get a seven-game series against them and you're getting four at Oracle and the first two are starting at Oracle, I'm convinced you can grab those two, come grab a split in Texas, and then come home and close it out in game five. That's the one thing. Great teams are able to travel, and for some reason the Spurs this season have had a lot of trouble with that.
Part of that was the rodeo trip where they went 1-7, the worst rodeo trip in the history of the organization.
Boo-hoo! You knew it was coming.
I'm stealing from Papa.
The rodeo just didn't show up overnight.
Dibs, with all due respect,
they did stink on that rodeo trip.
They're two and one against the Warriors this year.
They beat them.
Small sample size.
I know it is.
You make a good case though. Well coached. Yeah. Something we'll put out to the fans. Yeah. Where do the Spurs rank in terms of Western Conference threats? Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Mark Medina's coming up next. But tell me why.
Joe Low and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors insider from the San Jose Mercury News, Mark Medina, with us here on 95.7 The Game. Mark, any certain affliction for Britney Spears and what you just heard coming back from break?
No, I got some affection for the Backstreet Boys. That's the song you're playing.
Oh, man, did I just jam all that together? I thought that was Britney's.
Wow. No, that's the Backstreet Boys. But
you know what? Is that really insulting to anyone?
No flag for lack of band boy knowledge or boy band knowledge.
Whoa. Yeah, I didn't even actually have the correct gender. I think that's part of the issue there. I'm going to just go ahead and pivot away from that since that was a disaster. Mark, what happened in last night's game against the Spurs? What happened?
Tell us why, Mark.
Okay, well, we got to stay with the Backstreet Boys thing with that. Like, what Nick Friedell and I were doing was during a timeout, we're trying to bring the joy that the Warriors are all about bringing. And, segue to the Warriors, they seem to be not having that joy. Like, they were kind of forcing the issue a lot, like Steph and Clay were all of a sudden just going in a drought and not being the Splash Brothers. But I wouldn't be too concerned long term. It seemed like this is one of these things where they had strung off a really good stretch of wins, and then they were just dealing with a bunch of change with losing to Marcus Cousins, with an injury and integrating Andrew Bogut, Kevin Durant getting his timing back. And so I don't want to say that they'll definitely win tonight in Minnesota because that's a quick turnaround, but I didn't really see, yesterday's game as meaning anything significant long term.
Especially as it pertains to the joy factor, because when Kevin Durant is back there, they play differently. Is it too simplistic to just say that it's the joy that isn't there? Is it the ball movement that changes? What are the tangible differences with Kevin Durant versus without?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think when you compare and contrast Kevin Durant being there yesterday versus when he was out for the past two games, you had DeMarcus Cousins being in the post and he was able to, dominate inside. And I think Kevin, he for the most part did pretty well. Steve Kerr noted that he was rusty a little bit because he got five fouls. He wasn't necessarily shooting well from deep, but there was a stretch in the fourth quarter where he had like seven straight points. But I wouldn't say that that came at the cost of Steph and Clay. I mean, when you look at the box score, Clay got the most shots, 22. Steph got 20. And a lot of them were open looks, and they weren't going in. So unlike maybe some of the earlier games this season where maybe when Steph and Clay aren't shooting well, it is a product of them trying to figure out that balance of when do you go about ball movement versus finding KD in isolation here. I think this was a unique game where they were able to blend both, but Steph and Clay weren't hitting shots, and the few times that they were finally hitting some, the Warriors never kind of seized on that momentum.
When you think about what Steph and Clay last night seemed a little bit cold, do you think a lot of that is because Why? Is it because people say KD came back? But no, those guys were getting their shots. You alluded to that Clay had more shots than anyone. What's the biggest thing? The rhythm. Why are this team so up and down, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think yesterday's game was a very unique case where they're doing everything right as far as how they get the ball moving, how they get everyone involved, and then they weren't able to capitalize. Like, KD did his own thing and had his own game, but when you're right. looking at Clay and Steph, like, I mean, like, Steph had that 60-foot shot to close the first quarter. There were a few shots in the second half that Clay started hitting after missing his first save. You thought, okay, this is when they'll start making a run. But the unfortunate part is that, you know, San Antonio played out of their mind, where they were all hitting shots with DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge, and then they were able to get good stops elsewhere. So I don't think that really any of those guys hitting fundamentally wrong. It was just one of those rare cases where they're getting open looks, but for some reason they're not going down.
Mark Medina, Warriors insider, San Jose Mercury News, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. The Nuggets last night defeat the Celtics in Boston, so there is now a tie atop the Western Conference. The mindset of the Warriors, we've been hearing over the last few weeks that they want to win that number one seed. How important is that to them between now and the end of the season? Are they really that fixated on it?
I think the question is always at what cost. I mean, the priority will always be maximizing health. So when there's ailments such as DeMarcus Cousins or Andre Iguodala, where they, you know, could benefit from sitting out, they will do that. But I think, unlike last year, the Warriors see this as a very tangible thing to reach. You might remember last season, you know, I think it was like 2 weeks before the regular season even ended, Houston was creating a lot of separation. And it wasn't even worth it for the Warriors to chase that, because that would require them to exhaust so much energy. And also, they're dealing with so many injuries, Steph Curry notably, but there are always all these overlapping injuries with some of the other all-stars. I think the Warriors collectively thought, you know what, let's wave the white flag. Now it's all about getting all these guys healthy. Here it's a little bit different because, for the most part, everyone is relatively healthy and there's not much separation. So I think because the Warriors have always been dealing with that ultimate first world problem of how do you stay interested at the end of the regular season, this is something that will keep them going. And then I think it's also recognizing how crazy the Western Conference landscape. Like, I got to clarify, as long as the Warriors stay healthy, they're going to win the NBA championship. They still have so much separation. But when you look at the depth in the West, you can look at specific opponents and think, like, hey, if I'm a one seed or a two seed, who I see in the first round could make a significant difference in terms of how much energy I'm exhausting. So specifically with the Warriors, I would say that a first round matchup against the Clippers would be vastly easier than having a first round matchup against the Jazz. That's not to say that the Warriors would ever feel threatened, but, you know, maybe the Jazz could get it to five games or six games, requiring the Warriors to be pretty competitive through crunch time, where even if the Clippers are really doing well for their own expectations, they just do not have the kind of star power to match up with the Warriors. And I would suspect that they could either sweep them or beat them easily in five. So I think that's where the Warriors are looking at everything pertaining to home court.
Warriors insider, San Jose Mercury News, Mark Medina with us here on 95.7 The Game. Good stuff, Mark. Thank you for your time. Travel safe. We look forward to having you back in the Bay.
Likewise. The next time, I hope you get the boy band correct.
Don't bank on it. Thanks, Mark.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right, Chilton Auto Body text line, since there are like 40 of you asking for it.
Oh!
Flag on the field. We got false start. Mr. Joey, get in the neutral zone. 5 yards, though. Just five.
I like when you take the lead on that. That was a good job.
Yeah, I saw him. He get anxious at times. You know, you're in the game. The game first starts, our first interview. And, you know, you want to hurry up and jump in there, you know, make that play.
Sure.
And got a little excited. It's all good.
That wasn't it. That segment was a mess. You got to flag the saying Britney Spears when it turned out to be Backstreet Boys. I'm really concerned about that. How do I misfire on that? I grew up with that. I was in high school when all that was happening. Yes. I was like right in the middle of all of it. Now to say the same kind of song, Backstreet Boys, okay, that's one thing. To get one of the male boy bands mixed up, to get Britney and Christina Aguilera mixed up, fine. That doesn't make it right, but it makes it, you know, understandable. When it's Backstreet Boys
music,
and you say Britney Spears,
it was troubling.
I kind of want to go see a shrink. Like, what's wrong? Am I secretly gay? Do I like Backstreet Boys more? Like, it's something for my brain to misfire like that. There's something I need to get to the bottom of there.
It's because you now have children, not just a child. So now you have dad brain.
Lots of people have kids.
Yes.
It doesn't excuse getting that wrong.
You didn't make that mistake pre-children, but now you have two kids. All kinds of mistakes are happening.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes. All right. I got to take it easy here. I got to do some quick meditation. I got to get my mind right. But here's a question for you. If the 49ers were as serious as Peter King's reporting about pursuing Odell Beckham Jr. this offseason, who else might they be kicking the tires on at wide receiver that we don't know about? That is next, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service bank, no compromises. Joe Lowe and Dibs back in a flash here on 95.7 The Game.
After the Dubs' tough shooting night against the Spurs, Joe Lowe and Dibs talk to Warriors legend Rick Barry at 9:30.
The Warriors have not usually had any kind of a problem with that, with guys who are worried about themselves more than the team.
Then it's another early tip-off as the Warriors battle the Minnesota Timberwolves at 5.
Curry, it's a 3, and it's good. It's money in the bank. Some cold, hard cash for Curry.
Coverage starts with Warriors Live at 3:30 on 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
A little in sync to get your morning started right here on 95.7 The Game.
What?
All day long, we should be playing this music, and I'm going to see if I can get every one of them wrong after the mistake from this morning.
Not bad.
I'm off to a riveting start. All right, so Peter King
yesterday. It's a four-quarter game.
Nice of you to join us,
oh,
by the way. You want to hit him? There you go. Was going to jump right into content, but guess what?
It's on me.
Old Chucklehead had to come in with some comment.
The flag's at your feet, Joe, in case you want to return it over the net to his side of the court.
I would never throw something at another human being like he does. Yeah, I find myself to be above that.
You're talking about Dibs, that is, because he's always throwing things at
me. Who threw something at me in the last segment?
Fair question.
At you or
no,
in your
at me? No, at me. Literally, like it hit the microphone in front of my face. So that would be at me.
We have it on video.
Post it on Joe Lowe and Dibs.
I thought you just said it was not posted.
No,
it's posted.
Between those two sentences, she posted it. In the 2.8 seconds, she was able to post it.
I posted it 2 minutes ago.
Posted.
Actually, oh, there he is. Look.
Yeah, I
see what happened.
It did not hit him. Exactly.
It didn't, no one said it hit me. You threw it at me.
It landed right in front of the screen.
But he threw it at me.
Threw it at you, but it didn't hit you.
I never said it hit me. At no point did I say it hit me.
You did.
Just like you just said it, you did post it, and then you did. That was your mix up.
Yeah.
This is on you.
Once said it hit me. I said you threw it at me.
I know,
you said
but this
no.
Is on you,
she brought up something about whether or not her Zapruder tape was up. It wasn't. Now it is.
No, it's up.
It's not on you for being late coming in. I had a great, I was going to lead us into the whole thing. I had the whole Peter King thing set up.
I was excited.
Yeah. Dibs sitting here just waiting to get in the content, prepared, focused, leaving for Vegas. What, tomorrow? Is this your last show this week?
Yeah, this will
do
it, Coach.
Good for you.
This will
do
it.
Why do you think he's all ready to go? He's all focused. I'm out of here today. Every break. Oh, yeah. So that's why
he's smiling.
Fired up, smiling, cheesing.
You know what? I appreciate a modicum of preparation. I'll go ahead and throw that out there. I appreciate a modicum of preparation.
I appreciate a modicum. It didn't hurt at all.
Yeah. Good work,
Just
Dibs.
A dollop. Thank you, Coach.
I know where I'm going first on this football topic. Hint, not the football player.
I did play 2 years of flag for the Petaluma Boys Club.
Puff.
Broke my cheekbone. That's a story for another day.
So Peter King's Monday column, he does notes on everything. It's a must-read if you're a football fan, and yesterday he went through a lot of the big free agent stories and how they happened. There's a great piece in there about how the Raiders trade for Antonio Brown almost fell apart at the last minute, but Mayock and the Steelers were able to get it done. Great stuff. Great quotes from Mayock in there about Gruden and everything. There's a lot of fascinating stuff. But the feature piece of the article is about Odell Beckham and how the deal got done with Cleveland and all this, you know, Gettleman this, Gettleman that, the general manager of the Giants. But the Niners get lumped into this. And as he's breaking down, Peter King that is, breaking down everything about the Cleveland trade, he says this, quote, "The Niners have been sniffing around Beckham for months, but they're just not a good match right now. The Giants need high picks and or productive players. The Niners wouldn't have wanted to trade a high pick this year or next, plus a rising star defensive tackle in DeForest Buckner, and the Giants might not want to settle, say, for next year's first rounder and this year's second rounder, or a lesser player than Buckner, say, for example, Jaquaski Tart. The Giants need help now, so Gettleman took the bird in the hand. He lanced the boil." He basically goes with Cleveland because he gets a starter in Jabril Peppers and a couple picks, whereas the Niners might not have been willing to do such a thing. Okay, that's fine. But it's just the first sentence of that grabbed my attention. The Niners have been sniffing around Beckham for months. For months. So clearly this tells us a couple things. Number one, they like Odell Beckham, obviously. But number two, they're willing to make a sizable investment in the wide receiver position if the player is a big enough talent like an Odell Beckham Jr. The first question I had after reading this, who else may they be sniffing around? You got to figure they weren't just interested in Beckham, and now that that fell apart, they're done. Wide receiver is just not something that they're concerned with. Do you think Lynch is calling Cincinnati about A.J. Green? Do you think he's calling Atlanta about Julio Jones?
Absolutely, and I think they've shown a willingness to get involved in trades, especially draft day trades, and you've got assets that you might be looking to move. Lowe's talked about how you may have one too many running backs, and we've mentioned Eric Armstead, Solomon Thomas versus the field, if one of them might be the odd man out. So if you're John Lynch, you see a glaring need at wide receiver, you realize that DK Metcalf isn't good enough to be the number two overall, and he probably won't be there at 36 for your second round pick. So what do you do about finding a wide receiver? You don't want to just find a guy like Pierre Garçon, because that didn't work out for you. So it's either trade for a superstar or hope you get a find in the draft.
Do they like Odell Beckham enough to be that aggressive on him and then just back away from the market entirely?
No, they're still going to be in this market. And I thought kudos to the 49ers when they said they punted, when especially when they even mentioned Buckner. Here's a guy that's a boy dog. You get rid of that guy now, okay, in the draft. Now you do have to think about getting the defensive lineman, you know, from Alabama. Now what do you need? Now you need more than...
You solve one problem
exactly.
By creating another.
Exactly.
It would have been foolish.
It would have been very foolish if they would have did that. So I liked it that they punted hard on that. But without a doubt, Joe, this team is in the market. And if you look at Blair and you look at, you know, look at some of the offensive linemen, defensive linemen, Solomon Thomas, you look at Armstead, is those three a trade for Julio and then give up a second? Does that do it for Atlanta? Atlanta's run defense is not necessarily the best. So you say, okay, they can give them more depth and give up a second-round pick for Julio? Is that worth it? I've been in Atlanta, and I'm going to tell you right now, there is talk about Julio not being happy. There is talk about sometimes that this guy, he's ready to play, but he's not playing because of certain reasons. So I think that there is I think that if you talk about out of those two receivers, A.J. Green and Julio, I think that Julio Jones will not spend the rest of his career in Atlanta, and I can see that happening on draft day, that Julio Jones is traded. Don't think that he really wants to be in Atlanta.
He does want a new contract.
Yep.
He does want a new contract. Here's what I'm going to say on that. I love what you're saying. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you, but I don't think Atlanta is as incentivized to move Julio Jones. Let's just look at the scenario. They've got a guy in Matt Ryan who's considered to be a franchise quarterback. They're just a couple years removed from the Super Bowl. Julio Jones is a big part of what they do, right? You factor all that stuff together. Dan Quinn got the team to the Super Bowl, but then they lost and they started to slide back a bit. He's probably thinking about his job and his future. The reality is they're kind of in win now mode. Jones helps them win now. They've got a coach that's incentivized to keep them. They've got the quarterback situation locked up. Everything about that is a scenario in which you want him in the mix unless you get a massive haul in return because the scenario got so spoiled and went so rotten, like with Antonio Brown in Pittsburgh. I don't see that happening. However, you go to Cincinnati, there are a lot of boxes to be checked when it comes to A.J. Green. He's got 1 year left on his deal, right? You got to figure after all these years of being quiet, playing the role of good teammate, doing everything that's asked of you, with 1 year left on your deal and the fact that you're not exactly a spring chicken, you're going to turn 31 in July, you might want to go actually, you know, like Tony Gonzalez, maybe play in a playoff game one day, maybe win a playoff game. I know they've been there, but he's never won a playoff game. Guy played at Georgia, all right? He's a competitor. He's from the SEC. I'm thinking with 1 year left, Cincinnati, they're not foolish. They got a new head coach. Cleveland's on the rise. Pittsburgh's still going to be decent. Baltimore should be all right. You're the worst in the division. This would be the time to move on. Grab some assets. He's going to leave anyway. Get something in return for him and figure it out down the road because you're probably going to need a new quarterback. This would be something that wouldn't cost as much as Beckham. It wouldn't cost as much as Julio Jones for the Niners, so it makes some sense. Good guy. You don't have to worry about kissing nets or causing problems. It literally checks every box. Now, maybe he's not as dynamic as Beckham or as young as Beckham or as dynamic as Julio Jones, but it solves a big need. It solves a big need. It would be for a reasonable price, and I think Cincinnati might actually be willing to part ways with him. If this is the guy, would you get on board with this?
Would
you be excited about AJ
Green? As long
as
the number two overall is not involved. You know, if it costs you your number 36, and even if it's the 36th pick in the draft and Eric Armstead for AJ Green, all of a sudden I'm doing that trade. Solomon Thomas, the same thing. If it's Solomon Thomas and that pick, because those guys are both first-round picks, but they're not necessarily first-round players in the NFL, so you wouldn't be giving up a first-round asset. You'd really be giving up the second-round pick and a player who's a second- or third-round type of asset in exchange for a guy who's had a first-round kind of career. And you'd look at him and how impactful he could be in this offense. You would have a receiver that would draw attention from the defense. So now you have Kittle. Now you've got A.J. Green. All of a sudden, the other secondary pieces would be able to thrive because you wouldn't be the primary option.
I just think when you look at these two teams, defensive front-wise, those guys don't fit. If you look at Cincinnati, think about who they have up front. Those guys got some players up front. I look at Atlanta. Atlanta's a better fit, Joe. You're talking about what they have up front. They don't have necessarily Pro Bowlers and great guys up front. Cincinnati has a pretty decent guys up front. I think
so. When you say you think Atlanta's a better fit in terms of trading a defensive lineman?
Yes.
Okay, I'm with you. I hear what you're saying.
That's where I'm going with this. I think if you look at Cincinnati, they got freaking two Pro Bowls. Their nose guard's good. Solomon's position's good. They got Buckner. He's got another guy that's pretty good there. You look at where Cincinnati is defensively, just up front, and you compare it to Atlanta, I just think that is more appeasable, more appealing to Atlanta. I look at Julio. Julio's missed more games than AJ. Julio missed games. You know, they're always talking about his toe, this, that, and the other. I think Julio understands the handwriting's on the wall for maybe this head coach. I don't know if Julio's going to give it all. We know one thing. Julio will give it all for Shanahan. He understands the importance of it. I just think that you have a motivated guy, and Julio's got 2 years on a deal. He knows Atlanta's not going to pay him. They already drafted a receiver. Atlanta's not going to pay him. He's unhappy there.
Yeah, they spent a first, I believe, on Calvin
they
Ridley,
did.
Also out of Alabama.
Absolutely. They spent a first. They're not going to pay him. And he's not happy. I think that he understands the importance of playing here. I think Cal Shanahan will rip up the contract, him and John Lynch, give him a longer-term deal. He understands the system that he can flourish in this. I just think because of the player and the different needs as far as Atlanta's defensive front compared to the Bengals, I think Julio will fit here, in my opinion. Both are great receivers, but I think that's where we'll end up.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 7 o'clock hour of Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. It is great to have you with us, as always. Greg Papa will join the program at 8:30 like he does every Tuesday and Thursday here on Joe Lowe and Dibs. Rick Barry, the Hall of Famer, at 9:30. And courtesy of Dan Dibley and Rick Tittle, who have a hell of a podcast going right now, I believe you got some tickets to give away at 8:45, Dibs.
Yes, Golazo Supremo is your soccer podcast. Rick and I do it each and every week. And next week, it's actually a week from today, Mexico against Paraguay, which is obviously not World Cup ramifications, but two good sides. Great atmosphere at Levi Stadium. We're giving away tickets at 8:45 today, thanks to your good friends at Golazo Supremo. Golazo, 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 aso, aso, aso.
What do they call this? Is this a friendly that's being played, or is this actually a qualifier?
It's a friendly, although you know this, Joe. When Mexico and Paraguay get together, it's not friendly in the least.
It's anything but. It's anything but.
When two continents collide, South America, North America, Levi.
You're getting close to vacation, man. This dude will put on a show. This is awesome stuff. You're really on fire this morning.
Up in 3 hours, I mail it in. Thanks, Coach. Golazo, golazo, golazo. Aso, aso, aso.
Aso, aso, aso.
Andrew Bogut made his return last night for the Golden State Warriors as your Dubs fall in San Antonio by a final score of 111-105. Spirited game. Klay and Steph were terrible from a shooting perspective last night. It'll happen. 14 of 43. If you want the spin.
It's bad.
To spit in the face of one Bill Riley, if you want to go with the spin zone, because he was all about the no spin zone. If we want a spin zone around here, we can put this in perspective. You were on the road. Stephen Klay shot 14 of 43. Andre Iguodala was out. Boogie was out. It was Bogut's first game back, and you still only lost by six. That's your spin zone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.